7 days, would you consider that a blessing of God? He considered a blessing because, now let me hear for 7 days. Let me just hear about Krishna. Hare Krishna. And he was so blissful in this state of hearing the glories of the Lord. And he's especially very interested, because in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has just killed Rakshasi Putana. You all know this Putana. She was a Kechari witch. In the true sense of the word, she was a terrible, terrible demoness, coming from a whole family line of asuras. The asura caste. Her brother was Bakasura, and her youngest brother was Agasura. He was the child of the family. Putana was 12 miles long. Her little brother was only 8 miles long. So these are very big demons. So she came to kill Krishna. She disguised herself as a beautiful, beautiful woman, so beautiful that Rohini and Yashoda thought, Lakshmi herself has come to bless our child. She put deadly poison upon her breast. That little baby Krishna, who was just born. He was just born days before. How many of you mothers have had children? All mothers had children, I guess. It's not a very intelligent question I'm asking. I'm an conditioned soul. So, Hare Krishna. You have seen children when they come out. It's very difficult to identify what species they are when they first come out. Of course, the mother thinks they're so beautiful, and the father thinks, oh, I've never seen such a beautiful child. And everyone's saying, such a beautiful child. Such a beautiful, beautiful child. The child's so beautiful. Swamiji, do you want to see this beautiful child? And then I see it, like... I'm so controlled. The wonderful ceremony. Then Nanda Maharaj felt, I must pay taxes to Kamsa in Mathura. So he left with many of the other gopas. And while he was there, he met with Vasudev. Vasudev actually heard Nanda Maharaj was in Mathura, so he came to see him. His special reason is he wanted to know how his child Krishna was without revealing that it was his child. And he said to Nanda Maharaj, you better get back very soon because there may be great dangers coming for your child. So while he was away, Krishna was little baby. Everyone thought he's just a baby. And Putana came and she put deadly poison and he started sucking that milk and sucked out that poison and kept sucking, and he was squeezing Hare Krishna. And Putana was in his little tiny hands were squeezing. She was in terrible pain, and he was squeezing and sucking and squeezing and sucking, and Putana was saying, get off me, child, get out, leave me, leave me. And Krishna just and ultimately she was in so much pain, she ran out of the house, she ran into the pasture grounds. And then she assumed her original form 12 miles in size. She was still saying, child, leave me! Can you imagine what a little baby is compared to a person 12 miles long? She still could not get him away until he sucked out her very life. She fell, crashing to the ground, breaking all the trees and the forest around. Very wonderful. And Nanda Maharaj came back. Yashoda and the gopis, they took Krishna and started trying to worship the Lord for saving him. And Nanda Maharaj came back, and when he saw this big, big Rakshasi laying in his pasture fields, he was wondering, what is this? So then they burned they chopped up the body. These little cowherd men were just chopping up the body and putting it in fire. And the fire was, the body was burning just like incense. There was a sweet nectarine smell coming from the smoke, because her body had been touched by Krishna. Although she was terribly steeped in the mold of the darkest, cruelest ignorance, just by being touched by Krishna, her body became sweet and fragrant. And her soul went back to Vaikuntha to become the mother of Krishna eternally. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki. Whatever Lord, what Lord can be so merciful as Krishna? This was the prayer of Uddhava. So then, after hearing this wonderful, wonderful narration, Maharaj Parikshit is asking, please tell me more. What did Krishna do next? Sukadeva Goswami, he's very excited, because there's nothing more pleasurable to a speaker of the Bhagavatam than having someone who's eager to hear. And I won't say what we feel like when people are falling asleep. When somebody's eager to hear, you become eager to speak, because it's a very personal process. Bhakti is personal. The whole process of bhakti is reciprocation between people. Just as Putanas, cruel, envious, ignorant body and soul were completely...
all of that up simply to give my affection to a deer. And what is the result? I'm walking around the forest in the body of an animal eating grass. What a fool I am. But as a deer, he just, wherever the rishis were chanting the names and glories of Krishna, he would listen. He was not attached to the enjoyments that deers like to enjoy. And in his next birth, he became a Brahmin, but he did not want in any way to become implicated with false ego or all of the benefits that come due to false pride. So he pretended to be completely ignorant, although he knew everything. He was the wisest of the wise, but he did everything opposite the proper way as far as the rituals of daily practical life, just so everyone would think he was a fool. If everyone thinks you're a fool, there's not too much to be proud of. If everyone thinks everything you do is useless, still you can become proud. That is the nature of Maya. But not so much of it. Opportunity. So he lived like this, and ultimately he was living in the forest, and Maharaj Rahugna's people asked him to carry the palanquin, but as soon as an ant would crawl on the street, he would stop. And when one person stops and three people are moving, the person on top feels the effect. So the king was, what is this? Why you are making like this? All the three men said, "It's him, this new man. He stopped. Don't you stop. I am king." So they started. But then an ant came crawling again. He stopped. "What you are doing, this is nonsense. I will punish you. You walk and you do not stop." So he walked. But an ant came. This is Judd Barak. He was more concerned with the ant than the king. Pandita Samadarshanaha. He was seeing with equal vision all living entities. Whether one is king or ant, the super soul is within everyone's heart. Every living being is part of Krishna. He was willing to be killed by the king to not kill an ant. This is Vaishnava. This is the quality of a true devotee of the Lord. So the king was so angry, he just started saying, "I am king, you are just a useless servant. You must obey me, you have disobeyed, you will be punished." Then Judd Barak began to speak. "You are in great illusion. You think you're king. You think I'm your servant. In next birth, I may be king and you may be servant." You should be careful what you speak. And he began to explain the nature of the eternal soul. How the soul is always different from this material body. But the soul, according to its desires and activities, is transmigrating since time immemorial through various species of life. Sometimes we go up and sometimes we go down in this evolutionary scale. But the soul is part of Krishna. But somehow or other, due to the influence of the illusory energy, the soul has come under the captivity of the mind and the senses, and has thus come under the subjugation of false ego. The false ego is that material power that causes us to forget our eternal existence, that we are such an ananda, we are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But now we are thinking we are this mind. And the mind is always trying to find pleasure through the senses, which are like wild horses, dragging our lives into so many various directions and activities for material enjoyment. And everything we do, we become incriminated in the bondage of karma, in which the gunas, the ropes of material nature, sattva guna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, completely entangle our lives in a network of misconceptions. The mind is the cause. When the mind is not under the direction of the soul, being under the direction of the soul means following the dictations of the Word of God, the mind is the greatest enemy. The scriptures give us many warnings. Never trust your mind. However your mind so viciously but expertly presents himself in various disguises. Hare Krishna. Never trust the mind. Of course, in modern civilization, people are very much anxious to trust the mind. They do not want to accept any authority except the mind. Especially Western world, and coming just now coming to India more and more, there is this conception defy authority. Be independent. Think for yourself, Haribo. Think for yourself means be a slave of your worst enemy, Hare Krishna. But that is considered a very, very advanced way of thinking. Don't listen to scriptures, don't listen to guru, don't listen to sadhus. Listen to your mind. Who is that speaking this message? It is Maya. Through the mind. Srimad Bhagavatam describes that when one takes to spiritual life, his purpose is to control the mind. Without controlling the mind, there is no question of making any real spiritual advancement. Spiritual life without utilizing the mind's energies in the service of the Lord is simply an illusion. Just like a hunter, when the hunter catches an animal, the hunter should put no faith in that animal. Because if he does, the animal will immediately escape. If we are inattentive, not only may the animal escape, but it may attack us and kill us. The mind is that animal. Another example given by Srila Shukadev Goswami is the mind is like a prostitute, an unchaste wife. An unchaste wife wants to associate with paramours and have relations with those paramours. And ultimately the paramours will kill the husband. Similarly, if the mind is not guarded very, very attentively, the mind will begin to associate with the paramours of lust, anger, envy, pride, greed, and illusion. And those paramours will ultimately kill the inclination for spirituality of the devotee. The Bhagavad Gita describes, if you can just do one thing, control your mind, the super soul, the Paramatma, God in your heart will be attained. But if you cannot, it is the mind itself that blocks your vision of the Lord within your heart. Krishna is seated in the heart of every living being. Why we cannot see Him? Why we cannot feel Him? Why we cannot hear Him? Why we cannot love Him? Only one reason. Because the mind is covered with the dirt of material attachments. Because the mind is still trying to find happiness, relief through the senses, rather than seeking shelter of our real friend, Krishna. The example is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you have a lamp, what gives light to that lamp is the wick. You have seen lantern. When the wick is properly controlled, it gives out illumination. When that wick is not properly controlled within the lamp, it will turn the whole lamp black. And due to the blackness of the lamp, you cannot even see the light coming through it. When the wick is controlled, in contact with ghee, then that ghee will come through the lamp and give illumination. Our mind is like that wick. When it is properly controlled, in contact with the fresh ghee of Harinam, Harikatha, and Hariseva, then it will illuminate our lives, illuminate the world. However, if our minds are not controlled, the lamp of our life will simply turn black. It will bring blackness to our own life, obscure the light of our soul, and anyone who comes in contact with us will become black. Hare Krishna. So therefore, the first principle of yoga is to control the mind. But it is very difficult. Arjuna explains in Gita that, Krishna, you are telling me I should control my mind, but in my honest opinion, to control the mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. Has anyone been successful in controlling the wind? When there is a great cyclone, a typhoon, as anyone thinks in a selfish way about their own self-interests, immediately that creates an atmosphere where there will be competition and envy. And therefore, as soon as that desire enters your heart, you cannot remain in Vaikuntha. This material world is ultimately meant to purge that desire from our heart by showing us how frustrating the ambitions for selfish desires are. So wonderful that the denizens of Vaikuntha, they have such opulence, but yet they are not proud. In this material world, if a person is a little beautiful, if their eyes have some distant semblance to a lotus petal, they think they're very beautiful. If someone's complexion is... In India, everyone thinks light complexion is beautiful. But in Vaikuntha, it's not like that. Blue complexion is beautiful. Not this white. One of my godbrothers was a Brijbasi. And Brijbasis are simple. They just, Radhan Krishna, Gopas, Gopis, they don't know so much about material things. So, some foreign devotees from the Western countries, they came to Vrindavan. They came to his home. He brought one of the brahmacharis to his home. And in India, people think, oh, this white complexion is very nice. Unfortunately, we see in our own congregation, that's the oftentimes amongst parents, that is the first, foremost, and most important consideration for marriage, that they have fair complexion and lots of money. Sometimes those are the two can... But anyways, this devotee brought one of our brahmachari godbrothers to his house, and the mother, she just became fearful. She said, don't let him in the house. I said, why? I said, he has white leprosy. Don't you see how his all the beautiful dark color of his body has just become completely disappeared due to the disease of leprosy? We don't want to look like that. So keep him away. It is contagious. So like this, everything is relative in this material world. Actually, in the Western world, nobody likes light complexion. People spend so much money going to these different, places where you, in the winter, where you sit under these lamps to get tan, they called it, to make your skin dark. In the summer, they put all kinds of lotions on their body and creams and sit out in the sun. They just lay there for hours and hours and hours trying to get their skin burnt so it looks darker, so they can attract the opposite sex.
It's a fact. And in the winter, they go to these places and sit under these infrared lights. They're probably getting cancer along with it, just to make their skin dark like an Indian, so they can attract the opposite sex. So the grass is always greener on the other side. That is the same. The whole material world is mad under the bodily conception of life, because we don't know what real beauty is. Real beauty is blue complexion. Something materialists have not figured out yet. Not black. Trinadapi sunichena, to be humble like a blade of grass, is being illustrated here in a very practical way. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, from every point of view, is so senior to everyone. He's senior in age. He's senior in knowledge and philosophy. He's senior in realization, purity. He's senior due to his ecstatic knowledge and realization of the topmost love of God. But yet, he is honoring, respecting, and worshiping every devotee of the Lord. He is honoring and worshiping even the neophyte. Material consciousness, if someone is lower than us, we want to be respected. In real Vaishnava understanding, the most worshipable person is the person who is most eager to worship. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would sometimes say during his Vyas Puja that, what kind of brute am I sitting on this high seat hearing all these words of praise? But then he revealed the inner confidential thoughts of his own heart. Because I'm your servant, I'm doing this just for your spiritual advancement. He was doing this as a humble servant to his disciples. It was his way of worshiping them. Srila Prabhupada, he explained, I see all my devotees as the representatives of my Guru Maharaj. Therefore, his mood was to worship them. How to worship them? Sometimes it means to train them. Sometimes it means to chastise them. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is seeking the dust of the feet of every Vaishnava. That should be our aspiration, to follow in his footsteps. According to the parampara system, I wish to take the dust from the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. I wish to take the dust of their lotus feet upon my head. In this way, I wish to be blessed with their mercy. Receiving the orders of the above authorities and the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan, especially from Haridas, the priest of Govindaji, I, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, have tried to describe one small particle of one drop of one wave of the ocean of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. It's becoming late, so I should let you go. But we are these wonderful devotional sentiments which embody the real treasure of humility and knowledge, of trying to assist all of you in this way, is Srila Prabhupada's mercy for allowing me this very sacred service, and your mercy for accepting my insignificant attempts. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Does everyone like the new altar for Srila Prabhupada's books? When was it installed? 3 weeks back. You are satisfied? The philosophy behind this is not just decoration. It is an expression of our faith and our desire to preach that faith. I will share with you, of course, I'm sure all of you already have come to this realization, but still for my purification, I would like to share with you the motivation and purpose behind having manufactured this beautiful, beautiful bookshelf for Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada explains that his books are none different than him. Prabhupada said, Vani is more important than Vapu, because Vapu is temporary. Sometimes the great souls are with us, and sometimes they go to other places, or sometimes they go back to Godhead. But their Vani is always with us, their instructions. They are living in their Vani. Thakur Bhaktivinod has prayed in this way in his salutation to Srila Haridas Thakur. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living, still in sound, Vaishnavas died to live and live to spread the holy name around. So this is our faith in the reality that Srila Prabhupada is living in his books. Not only Srila Prabhupada, but all of the great acharyas in our disciplic succession are speaking to us personally and directly through those books. And those books are the words of Krishna. So they are non-different than Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna book is literally a deity of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Krishna book is derived, every book of the Srimad Bhagavatam is literary, non-different than Krishna. It describes in Bhagavatam itself that after Krishna left this world, he descended in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that book is a deity, a worshipable. Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada said, is non-different than the very murti of Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya from which it was arrived, is none different than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not aware. So similarly, you will never give the dust of your feet to me. Rather, you try to take the dust of my feet. This is not good. So you cannot blame me the treasured object of all my goal of life I have achieved today. If you will not give it willingly, I have to get it by some other means. Then Lord Chaitanya went to get Advaitacharya's dust from his feet. And Lord Chaitanya he is sometimes called Singha Chaitanya, because he's like a lion. And he took the dust of Advaita's feet all over his body. And then he was very happy. So Advaitacharya always wanted to be in the position of servant. And he considered it a curse that he was a Brahmin. Curse that he was a senior Vaishnava. He wanted the position of the people on the street, because they were getting the opportunity to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I'm being honored. He will not allow me to serve. So sometimes in our contaminated state of consciousness, Hare Krishna, we are desiring some high position, a position of respect. But the great souls, they don't like these things. It's simply a disturbance. As a sacrifice for the purpose of preaching on behalf of Guru and Gauranga, we accept a position like this because it may be conducive to helping others become Krishna consciousness. It's an asset to our service. However, within the heart of hearts, it's a disturbance. Because a devotee wants to take the humblest, most menial position of serving everyone. So Advaitacharya was the highest Brahmin and the highest Vaishnav. But he was thinking, I am so unfortunate. The avadutas, the sinful beggars, the materialists, the atheists, they are given the right to serve you, but I am not. And in giving the right to serve you, are giving them love of God. But Srivas and myself, we are being deprived of it. Therefore, I have personally drunk that love of God from you. I've stolen it. I've taken it away from you. And that's why you're not feeling any ecstasy. He was joking. But you know what Lord Chaitanya did? He became very grave. He ran to the door and broke the door down and ran outside. The devotees were fearful. Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu went running after him. The others were shocked. What did we do? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just ran right to the Ganges, dove in the Ganges, went underwater and fell unconscious. Haridas Thakur and Sri Nityananda Prabhu were shocked, in a state of utter depression. They immediately dove into the Ganges. Haridas Thakur took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his feet, and Nityananda Prabhu took him by the upper part of his body, and somehow or other they struggled and strained to bring him out of the water onto the bank of the holy river Ganga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, why have you done this? Why have you taken me out of the Ganga?
Yajnasya kutonya kurusattamaha. O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. whatever form of material existence one is in, one is invariably ignorant of his real situation. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple reactions of our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on in material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which we may get out of this entanglement. The Vedas, therefore, give us a chance for escape by pointing out the paths of religion, economic comfort, regulated sense gratification, and at last, the means to get out of the miserable condition entirely. The path of religion, or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above, automatically solves our economic problems. By performance of yajna, we can have enough food, enough milk, etc. Even if there is a so-called increase of population, when the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage is to satisfy the senses. The Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred marriage for regulated sense gratification. Thereby one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage, and the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by performance of yajna, sacrifice, as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna, according to the Vedas, how can he expect a happy life, even in this body, and what to speak of another body on another planet? There are different grades of material comforts in
Omata Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha,
that he is the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from him, and the wise who know this perfectly worship him with all their hearts, with love and devotion. So the Lord has created with multifarious energies. Parasya Shaktir Vivadaiva Shruyate. That means the Supreme Absolute Truth is pervading everything that exists through many, many different energies. However, there are three primary energies. There is the material or external energy. There is the spiritual or the internal, eternal nature. And there is the marginal energy. So we would like to describe them very briefly. The material energy is what we can perceive with our senses.
Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddhareva cha ahankara iti yame bhina prakritirashtata.
Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. All these things have temporary manifestations. Material energy is eternal. However, all manifestations within material energy are subjected to a beginning and an end, creation, maintenance, and ultimately dissolution. However, there is a spiritual energy, which natural quality is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, where there is nothing that is subjected to time. In fact, it is said in the spiritual energy, time is conspicuous by its absence. And that is the spiritual abode of the Lord. The third energy is the marginal energy, or the Tathashta Shakti, the Jiva soul, who is part and parcel of God, who is of a substance of pure spiritual energy, but because of its very small, infinitesimal nature, it has the free will to either be subordinate to the temporary material nature or the eternal spiritual nature. We have all come into this existence
of material cosmos, because by our own free will, we have decided to try to enjoy the facilities of material nature. And therefore, we're given a material body in order to try to enjoy it. But this body is subjected to birth, old age, disease, and death. And all the things we're trying to enjoy are also of a temporary nature. Therefore, Krishna explains in Gita, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. This place is not really a place of real happiness, because the soul, who is you, we are not this body, but we are the soul that's giving life to the body, that is animating the body, that is loving through the body, thinking through the brain, seeing through the eyes, hearing through the ears, tasting through the tongue, feeling through our flesh. We are that person. And what is death? When the body is no longer suitable for the soul to reside in, then the soul leaves this body. And the body is no more alive than this microphone, or than the floor that we're sitting on. It's just material elements. So the soul is looking for real pleasure, spiritual pleasure. No doubt this material world gives facility for temporary pleasure. However, it also has so much facility for frustration. And ultimately, because we have to grow old and all our facilities for enjoying whatever we may have are... He could fly in the sky. He could do practically anything. And with his powers, he exploited so much gold that he made his whole city of Lanka Golden City. In America, the president lives in the White House. Anyone can paint their house white. But who can have a golden palace? Today, no one in the entire planet could do such a thing, have an entire palace made out of gold. Just last night at Jayadev Prabhu's house, I picked up the newspaper. And I saw it said this man named Bill Gates, who's one of the five wealthiest men in the world, he has a house that costs, I think it was about $50 million. It's one of the most expensive houses on the planet. How many rupees is $50 million? Huh? 250 crores. Only. That's not his office or his company. That's just where he sleeps. But Ravana, he not only had his palace, but the entire kingdom in solid, pure gold. Very, very successful person. However, he had one problem. He wanted to enjoy rather than serve. And due to that misconception, he engaged in so many immoral activities. Sita was the consort of Ram. Although Ravana had so many beautiful, beautiful women under his control, he was still not satisfied. Although he was king of practically the planet, and he had so much wealth, still he was not satisfied. By material methods, one will never be satisfied. One always wants something more. And the bigger you become, the more intolerable it is that someone is better than you. So when Ravana heard about Sita, he was thinking, I must enjoy her. She must be mine. So he used his tremendous powers for the immoral purpose of kidnapping another man's wife. First he disguised himself as sadhu. Then he used his very, very clever intelligence to convince her to cross over the line and give him charity. This all happened right here in Maharashtra.
ध्यान करना.
It was very difficult.
वो बहुत मुश्किल होता.
One had to, for tens and thousands of years, keep one's mind fixed without deviation from the Lord within the heart.
व्यक्ति को कई हजारों वर्ष तक अपने हृदय में भगवान के ऊपर अपना ध्यान केंद्रित करना होता था.
In Treta Yuga, the recommended process of self-realization was the performance of yajna.
और त्रेता युग में जो तरीका है वो है यज्ञ करना.
But to perform such yajnas, you had to have so much wealth, and Brahmins had to be able to perfectly recite every single syllable of every Vedic mantra perfectly.
लेकिन ऐसा करने के लिए व्यक्ति के लिए संपत्ति आवश्यक थी और साथ साथ ब्राह्मणों को हर एक श्लोक का हर एक अक्षर बिल्कुल पूर्ण रूप से उच्चारण करना आवश्यक होता था.
In fact, they would sacrifice a horse or a cow in their yajna.
इस यज्ञ में वो घोड़े या गाय को यज्ञ के रूप में अर्पण करते थे.
And if every mantra was chanted so perfectly by all the assembled Brahmins, then right before everyone's eyes, instantly, the cow or the horse would get a fresh new body and come alive.
और अगर हर एक मंत्र का उच्चारण बिल्कुल ठीक से किया गया हो तो सबके आंखों के सामने ही वो गाय या घोड़े को नया शरीर प्राप्त हो जाता.
But if any mantra or any ritual was not perfect, everyone would have to suffer terrible karma due to the death of an animal.
लेकिन अगर उसमें कोई भी गलती हो तो हर एक को जो है उस बुरे कर्म का भोगना पड़ता है कि एक जानवर की हत्या का.
In Dwapar Yuga, the recommended process of self-realization was worshipping the deity in the temple.
द्वापर युग में जो विधि है वह है मंदिर में अर्च्य विग्रह की आराधना करना.
One had to do it perfectly.
व्यक्ति को पूर्ण रूप से करना होता था.
And keep one's mind completely fixed in the form of the Lord.
और अपने मन को पूर्ण रूप से भगवान के रूप पर केंद्रित करना होता है.
And throughout one's life, offer everything in one's existence to the deity of the Lord.
और जो कुछ भी है वो भगवान को अर्पण करना होता
है. In Kali Yuga, no one can do such meditation, perform such yajnas, or do such type of worship.
इस कलयुग में न कोई व्यक्ति ऐसा ध्यान कर सकता है, न यज्ञ और न ही आराधना.
In fact, it is foolish to even try to perfect our lives in this way.
इस तरीके से अपने जीवन को पूर्ण प्राप्त करने का प्रयास करना भी मूर्खता है.
Thus, the scriptures describe Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyatha. That in this age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way but the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari to achieve the perfection of self-realization.
शास्त्रों में बताया गया है कि इस कलयुग में आत्म साक्षात्कार के लिए सिवाय भगवान हरि के नाम के और कोई उपाय नहीं है, और कोई उपाय नहीं है, और कोई उपाय नहीं है.
कीर्तनादेव कृष्णस्य मुक्त संग परम ब्रजे कलेर दोसनिदे राजान. This age of Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults.
ये कलयुग जो है ये दोषों की निधि है.
Just look and see what condition the world is in today.
जरा देखिए आज दुनिया की क्या स्थिति है.
So much quarrel, so much hypocrisy.
कितना झगड़ा हो रहा है और कितना ढोंग है.
People's minds are so much disturbed.
लोगों का मन विचलित है.
There is danger at every step.
हर कदम पर खतरा है.
Economically, the world is on the brink of disaster.
आर्थिक रूप से देखा जाए तो दुनिया का नाश होने वाला है.
There are nations aiming their nuclear bombs at one another.
और ऐसे देश हैं जो एक दूसरे पर अपने अणु शास्त्रों के उपयोग करने के लिए तैयार हैं.
All it takes for nuclear disaster is one crazy person pressing one button and it's it.
और अगर एक कोई पागल व्यक्ति एक बटन दबाता है तो उससे नाश हो सकता है.
And how many crazy people are there?
और कितने पागल व्यक्ति हैं?
Especially in the governments.
विशेष करके सरकार में.
Very dangerous situation.
बहुत ही खतरनाक स्थिति है.
And there are so many pollutants.
The recommended yajna of this age, which is the congregational chanting of Lord Krishna. Prabhupada says, if the personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was allured by Maya due to inattentiveness in chanting, what is our position of how we should be very, very serious and very careful? If we are serious and careful, attentive, the last Sunday I was here, we were describing how important it is to be attentive in whatever we are doing, to put our very heart into whatever service we are performing in a spirit of devotion, in a spirit of pleasing Guru, pleasing the Vaishnavas, pleasing Krishna, pleasing the fallen souls by giving them Krishna. I didn't say the fallen minds, I said the fallen souls. A devotee is dear to everyone. He is dear even to the fallen souls. He's dear to the soul of the fallen. But we must always be very, very careful. Krishna will always protect us. Another lesson is this: how Maya works. Like the Bataharis, she can present herself in various deceiving forms. The Bataharis did not dress like dacoits. They dressed like sannyasi Brahmins. They looked like the very personifications of religion. But yet, their purpose was only to deceive us. The mind is like a Batahari. Hare Krishna. And all the desires in your mind are like a community of Bataharis. And they may dress themselves or present themselves as your friends, as your teacher, as your relatives. In so many ways, trying to put your trust in your mind and the mind's representatives, Maya. Maya's representative, just to take you away from Lord Chaitanya. To take you away from God and His service. And to engage you in the service of Bataharis. So therefore, Jadvarat says, do not put faith in your mind. It is your greatest enemy. However the mind appears, whatever nice promises, whatever beautiful, elegant dress the mind may put, just for your satisfaction, do not look, do not hear, do not taste, smell, or touch. But chant Krishna's holy name. And follow the direction of Krishna. which gives your intelligence real purpose of life. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, not just to Arjuna, but to the whole world, to teach us what is to be done and what is not to be done. If we are guided by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we will always be on the path of light. But without Krishna's directions, whether we know it or not, we are on the path of darkness. This is the Vedic culture, to keep our minds and our lives always directed by the Word of God. Another great lesson from this story is how the devotees are so merciful. Lord Chaitanya rejected Kala Krishna Das, but the devotees engaged Kala Krishna Das in the service of Lord Chaitanya. It was actually the Lord's mercy. He had to set an example for the world. If he allowed this deviation to go without some reprimand or punishment, then the world would justify and think, we can all be like that. Actually, we've already been like that. The spirit soul is the eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. Just by leaving the spiritual world, leaving the service of the Lord and coming to this world, we have all joined the nomadic tribe of Batahari. And therefore, because we have left the Lord, ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As you approach Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly to you. If you leave Krishna, then Krishna will remain unmanifested in your life. Therefore, for one who has left Krishna, betrayed Krishna, you cannot approach Krishna directly. And we have all done that. We are all like Kala Krishna Dasas. We have all left the Lord to come to this world of exploitation, to exploit and be exploited. Whether it be in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. But the devotees are more merciful than the Lord. How could anyone be more merciful than the Lord if the Lord is all merciful? The word all merciful means all mercy is from the Lord. The devotee's mercy is simply the Lord's mercy in part and parcel. So how can a little part and parcel of mercy be more than the full whole mercy in which the mercy comes from? Mathematically, it does not make sense. But spiritually, it makes perfect sense, because it is the sweet will of the Lord. The Lord loves his devotee more than he loves his own life. This has been revealed in so many ways and so many times by the Lord himself. That because my devotee is always thinking of me, I am always thinking of my devotee. Because the devotee always keeps me in his heart, I always keep my devotee in my heart. Because the devotee has given up everything for me, I will give up everything for my devotee. I am always subordinate to the love of my devotee. And I find greater pleasure in hearing my devotee glorified than when I am glorified. Mad bhakta puja padika. This is the nature of love. A good father who actually loves his children, he's more happy when he hears his child praised than when he is praised. I've never been a father, so I have not so much realization. But is this true? Any fathers agree to this idea? If someone says to the father, "You are very nice," the father would say, "Thank you." But if someone says to the father,
your son is very nice. The father says, thank you. This is my observation. Because that is the nature of love. So Krishna wants his devotees to expand within this world a greater portion of mercy than himself. It is just like in manufacturing products within this world. Sometimes the manufacturer of the product does not sell directly to consumers, but rather sells to wholesalers or retailers. And if you go to the company and say, I want to buy this, they will say, it is our policy, we will never sell it to you directly. But why not? You are manufacturing them. They are all emanating from you. Because it is our policy that you must go through our agents. So Krishna has made the same policy. You must go through his devotees who come to this world on his behalf to canvass his mercy. And therefore, it is only by the mercy of the devotees that those who have rejected devotional service can be again reinstated in devotional service. This important message has been revealed through this wonderful pastime. Therefore, to be the servant of the servant of the Lord is the most appropriate and direct means of receiving the mercy of the Lord. The mind of even such a great personality can cause such difficulty. We should always be humble. We should always understand how much we depend on our sadhana, how much we depend on the association of devotees. If we become proud, we think, I know so many slokas. I have had so many people touch my lotus feet. There's no need for me to chant today. Because I am above Maya. Hare Krishna. That illusion is Maya. That idea is Maya. Or we may think, I do not have time. We have time to eat. We have time to sleep. We have time to work like asses to make money. But when we are on the verge of spiritual death, we don't have time to chant the holy names. We should be very careful, very conscientious to maintain the principles of good sadhana, to maintain the principles of morality, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. To always keep our mind and body engaged in devotional service, whether we are working as businessmen or architects or farmers or brahmacharis, doesn't matter, whichever way you are most comfortable. But the idea is we should always be doing whatever we're doing in a consciousness of service to Krishna and attentively put our heart into our service and remember Krishna through our service. And we must keep nice association, because that association is always there to remind us what our real purpose of life is. And when the mind begins to speak, sometimes the mind whispers. Psst, psst.
over here. Come see what I have. Please. I'm hungry. Don't neglect me. I've been faithful to you all your life. Please. Come. Depending on you. I have nowhere to go if you neglect me. Please, save me.
The mind.
And sometimes the mind appears in another way, very intellectual. Actually, you may say like this, but this is not logical. This is not philosophically precise. You should doubt this. You don't be deluded by these powers. Don't believe him. Don't listen to her. Actually, have you seen the deity dancing? Has it spoken to you?
It is stone.
And these names. You've been chanting for some years. Why you're not crying? Why mucus is not flowing from your nose? Why it is flowing. Why your hairs are not standing on it. Your limbs are not trembling. Obviously the holy name is not a transcendental sound vibration. Chant another song and you will be happy. So the mind can come in so many ways to create doubt. And sometimes the mind begins to scream and howl like an animal. Give me pleasure, give me satisfaction. Surrender! Surrender to me! And you will be happy. And then she turns toward Krishna and says, for a few moments, and then he will suffer. Hare Krishna. So in whichever way the mind approaches, Srila Prabhupada explains there was one easy weapon by which the mind can be conquered. And what is that weapon? Neglect. Neglect your mind. Put no faith in your mind. Be always attentive to keep your mind in the service of the Lord. Simple neglect means not that the mind becomes inactive. It must be fully active in devotional service. And neglect all other dictations that it may present to us. This is the essential understanding that we must all very, very carefully protect within our hearts and our lives. Krishna consciousness is so simple and so easy, providing we just have a simple approach and be happy with those things that please Krishna. Sabai mana Krishna padarav.
Selfish, taking your association for so long. I believe I should allow all of you to go on with your wonderful devotional service. Hare Krishna. When I was in Switzerland, I was awaiting coming back to Radha Gopinath Temple. When I was in Ukraine, I was awaiting coming back. When I was in Moscow, St. Petersburg in Russia, I was counting the days. When I was in Poland, I was simply remembering the devotees of Radha Gopinath Thakur. When I was in Germany, Cologne, Heidelberg, Abenthur, Wiesbaden, and Frankfurt, I was telling devotees there that it's getting closer to my return to Radha Gopinath. And when I was in Italy, Florence, Rome, Venice, Milan, I was just telling devotees that soon I will be going back to Radha Gopinath. And when I was in London, I was thinking it's so long till I get to go back to Radha Gopinath. So wherever I may travel, my mind is always at the lotus feet of the servants of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. So this I would like to honestly confess to you on this day. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopinanandi Hare.
Puraradam prayasham Puraradam prayasham asha Brahma vashtitam antike Tata prasamayopehi Swapitre kupitam prabhum.
Thereafter Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, "My dear son, Lord Narasimhadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord."
Tateti sanakai rajan mahabhagavathor kvaka upetya bhuvikhayena nanama vidrithanjali.
Narada Muni continued, "O King, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded toward Lord Narasimhadev and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands.
So padmule patitam tham abhar arbhyakam hilokya deva kripaya paripluta Utapyatachishni adadhatkaram bhujam kalahi vatsrastyadhyam kritabhayam.
When Lord Narasimhadev saw the small boy, Prahlad Maharaj, prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand
to hear about Krishna. Krishna has different avatars or incarnations, all of which are wonderful and which arouse one's inquisitiveness. But generally such avatars as Matsya, Kurma, and Varaha are not as attractive as Krishna. First of all, however, we have no attraction for hearing about Krishna, and this is the root cause of our suffering. But Parikshit Maharaj specifically mentions that the wonderful activities of baby Krishna, which amaze Mother Yashoda and the other inhabitants of Braja, are especially attractive. From the very beginning of his childhood, Krishna killed Putana, Trinavarta, and Shakatasura, and show the entire universe within his mouth. Thus, the pastimes of Krishna, one after another, kept Mother Yashoda and all the inhabitants of Braja in great astonishment. The process to revive one's Krishna consciousness is adoshadhatatha sadhu sangha.